Good morning, Your Honors. Eileen McKellip for Appellants Acknow Plumbing, DBA Gary Fox Plumbing, and Igor Ivanchuk. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for a rebuttal, please. This issue deals with whether or not the trial court improperly implied additional terms and conditions into the party's CR2A settlement agreement.
I'm a little confused that you're starting, because I think what we have before us is a motion to dismiss.
For whether or not it's appealable?
Whether the appeal were timely. So it seems as though if we had a motion to dismiss, you wouldn't go first.
I'll address that, Your Honor. Basically,
but it's not your motion to dismiss.
Oh, okay.
So I would
Okay, Your Honor.
You're right.
That's fine.
Don't you think? I mean, I think it's not your motion to dismiss.
Okay.
You're opposing that.
All right. Thank you.
It's your motion to dismiss.
Yes, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Adam Asher for David N. Brown, Inc. This
Do you
is,
want to reserve any time?
I'll reserve 2 minutes.
And that is the issue that is before us, the motion to dismiss.
We filed a motion to dismiss. The commissioner
ruled. The commissioner passed it to the panel, and so here we are.
Here we are, but we've also fully briefed the substantive merits as well. So I could see why there was confusion as to who should go first, but... On the motion to dismiss, the issue really is the timeliness of the appeal of two orders, the June 11, 2014 order granting judicial interpretation, and then a subsequent August 21 order granting a motion to enforce the terms. The key timeline is on June 11, the trial court entered an order regarding the missing timing of payment term, which was the only dispute between the parties. This then allowed the parties to enter in a formal settlement and release agreement, which incorporated the terms of the June order. On July 2nd, a stipulation and order of dismissal was filed and entered, dismissing the case with prejudice. Then subsequently, on August 21, the trial court granted a motion to enforce the terms of the settlement agreement in relation to the use of the name GaryFix.com in ACNOW's website. October 3, the trial court granted a motion to motion for attorney's fees, and then on October 31st was finally the notice of appeal.
One issue that is briefed and addressed is that in the July 2nd order of dismissal, the court did retain jurisdiction. So in the context of your argument as to why the June 11th and August 21st orders are not final, are not appealable under 2.2, can you address that argument?
Yes. So ACNOW tries to attempt to define what the action is, and there's the substantive claims, and then the separate action deals with the enforcement of the settlement agreement. However, the June 11 order effectuated or made it possible to resolve the substantive claim. So in simply defining one as an action related to the settlement agreement, it's not fair or accurate, because that order is what enabled the dismissal of the substantive claims.
But then the court did retain jurisdiction in the July 2nd order.
That's correct. And what we would say there is this is similar, not quite on point, but similar to the Nestegard versus Investment Exchange Corp., which says that you can have a final judgment for the purposes of appeal even if subsidiary acts or subsequent orders are contemplated and in this case the only thing that the trial court was retaining jurisdiction over was enforcement of the terms, because again this was a 6 month, they had 6 months to perform, and then after the 6 months they could apply for the disbursement of the proceeds from the registry of the court upon order.
So then after entry of the August 21st order enforcing the settlement agreement, did the court continue to retain jurisdiction to enforce?
We're in kind of a no man's land. In the response to the answer, or the answer to the motion to dismiss, ACNOW took the position that the court had jurisdiction until it entered the final order, which it would apply for in December. But since then, it hasn't applied for disbursement of the funds. And now in the context of the substantive appeal, it's asking the court rule that it simply has no obligation to even file for an application. So at this point, I'm not sure what the court's going to rule on. Our point is ACNOW has to, either under the terms of the June 11 order or under the settlement agreement, submit a motion and a declaration. At that point, the court will enter that. But the only
So then why doesn't that make June 11th and August 21st interlocutory orders?
Because even the court's jurisdiction, all the court has left to do is disperse the funds. That's it. There's not going to be a de novo review or a modification of the June 11 order or of the August 21 order. The only issue left is, do they get the $35,000 that's in the court registry?
So then after the court entered the order on August 21st, my question, back to my question, did the court then retain jurisdiction to do anything other than to disperse the funds?
Other than to disperse the funds, there was nothing else left to be done.
Okay. That answers that.
What I was going to back up to what I was saying is, we believe the question then is it appealable? Were they appealable decisions under RAP 2.2A? And we submit that the June order was an appealable decision under A3, which is a decision determining the action, which is any written decision affecting a substantial right that in effect determines the action or discontinues the action. And again, it's undisputed that the only thing preventing the parties from finalizing this agreement was the missing timing of payment term, which the court supplied. And thereafter, that enabled the parties to resolve the dispute, and it was dismissed with prejudice. We say alternatively, even if the June 11 order wasn't final enough then, when the parties then entered into a stipulation a settlement agreement that included those terms and then dismissed the case with prejudice, that this dismissal itself would have triggered some finality or some ticking of the clock, so to speak, on the 30 days, but ACNOW didn't file then either. And then on the August 21 order,
That in the alternative, if either June 11th or June 2nd were not final orders, that August 21st is?
No, my argument is that the final order in the case either was the June 11th order, or then there was a final judgment upon entering the stipulation or dismissal. So then the August 21 order would be under A13, which would be a final order after judgment, with the judgment being either the June 11 order or the stipulation order of dismissal on July 2nd. RAP 2.2A13 requires any order made after judgment that affects a substantial right. There's really no doubt that the order affected a substantial right. The Act Now is using GaryFix.com as its business website. The order said it couldn't do so. And again, our position is that there was already a final judgment, at least by July 2nd, when this order of dismissal was entered. The other point I'll make, and then I'll reserve the rest of my time, is that we don't understand why we're here. In ACNOW's answer, they said, quote, "At this point, the notice of appeal should be considered premature and should be treated as a nullity and or held in abeyance until the trial court's entry of a final order regarding ACNOW's compliance with the settlement agreement." Again, that final order hasn't happened.
Now, when you're citing their answer, what are you referring to?
The answer to the motion to dismiss.
So it's the response.
Page 14, okay. Yeah. Again, they're trying to tie it to some final order of the court, but on the substantive appeal, they're saying, but we're never going to file that. On the one hand, they're saying, it can't be final until the trial court enters this order, and that's the answer to the motion to dismiss. But on the substantive merits, they're saying, but please don't make us do that. And then they even make the argument that until this court reverses the June 11 order, then everything else will be final, which is nonsensical. So in sum, we ask that the court dismiss the appeals as untimely.
Thank you.
Eileen McKillop for Appellants ACNOW Plumbing, DBA Gary Fox Plumbing, and Igor Ivanchuk. With regard to the June 11, 2014 order, the court did retain jurisdiction. It basically said, pending further order of the court, this is an interlocutory order for sure. It's not appealable under 2.3. The relevant action is not Brown's underlying claim for trademark infringement. This is dealing with our settlement agreement, and the court was interpreting the settlement agreement under this order. And definitely the court basically in this The court's order states that Acnow Plumbing now has to not only basically doesn't get the money that it agreed to settle for, it has to apply to the court and get the court's approval for whether or not they've complied with this settlement agreement. It's an act and a condition that's in addition to what they agreed to, but that is not an appealable order. As far as the July 2nd, 2014, that is basically a dismissal of the underlying action. It's not a final judgment. With respect to the court's June 11th, 2014 order enforcing the settlement agreement, this is all relating to the settlement agreement, not the underlying claims. So that would not be a final order either. And we're all waiting. I mean, basically, it's pending further action from the court at this point in time. And with respect to the August 21st.
If that's true, then why did you file the notice of appeal?
What we do have a problem is on October 3rd, 2014, the court entered a judgment against my clients on the August 21st, 2014 order with findings of fact and conclusions of law and a judgment summary in accordance with RCW 4.64030. And also David Brown's counsel definitely threatened to enforce that. That was actually made as a judgment. So, and that was for some $6,000+. So that we basically had to appeal that to stop the enforcement by David Brown on that. And I'm pretty sure that the court would have ordered us to pay that.
So then when you filed your notice of appeal, was it your position that the June 11th and August 21st orders were interlocutory?
I believe that they are interlocutory, but because of the entry of the judgment that related back to the previous orders on, you know, the October 3rd, 2014 order and judgment, that's what triggered the appealability. And that's why we filed on notice. If she wouldn't, I asked the court not to enter a judgment because that would force us to appeal it at that time. And David Brown basically argued that he wanted a judgment. So we were at a position where we have a judgment entered against my client for almost, you know, more than half of what he had received that thus far. And so we had to appeal that. Otherwise, I believe David Brown would argue that that was a final, and we should have appealed that, and we should have appealed all the other orders, as he's arguing right now. He's arguing that all these orders, you know, were final. The June 11, 2000 order, even though there was further action from the court required, the July 2nd, 2014 order, you know, dismissing the case, he's arguing it's final. He's arguing the August 21st, 2014 order is final. So, you know, we've got all these orders that are supposedly supposed to be final, but the court is taking further action. So we.
So did you believe the October 3rd order awarding fees and entering a judgment, that was a final order?
Yes, I do believe, Your Honor, because of the type of the judge entered the findings of fact and conclusions of law and a judgment summary, and that would be basically that's what's required under 4.64030. And I think they definitely would have forced it, and I think the court would have enforced it. And we were facing that as well. That's all I have, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
Just one quick point. In the briefing, ACNOW has argued that there is no final order in the case. Not that the order on the fees was the final order, but simply that there is no final order and there won't be any final order until the trial court rules on a motion that might be filed at some point in time regarding a disbursement of the funds.
That would mean that they would not have filed a notice of appeal at all.
They could have if they thought that the final order in the case was going to be the motion or the order dispersing the funds, waited to file the appeal at
that
point.
Well, we just heard that the belief is that the October 3rd order was final. And so that your position is, or you're trying to point out, that's contrary to what the brief says.
That's all, Your Honor. Yes, correct. That's the first time they've argued that, is my point. Thank you.
Thank you. The next page.